order, which is printed on your agenda, and opening business. Now, the meeting has been called to order. May we have a roll call, please?
All right. This is the October 14, 2015 LSB meeting for Pacifica KPFT. Teresa Allen. Teresa Allen.
I need the regular agenda, please, everyone.
Jim Boyd.
Here.
Adriana Casaneva.
Here.
Maria Elena Castellanos.
Here.
24 of them.
Phil Collins requested an excused absence. Nancy Saibarnartomi.
Somebody.
Alanalan Apurim.
Present.
Mike Lewis.
Present.
Jim Kravka.
Here.
Hank Lamb.
Present.
Robert Mark.
Here.
Susan Rodwin.
Here.
Joseph K.
Here.
Susie Moreno.
Present.
Dwayne Lark.
Present.
Wesley Bethune.
Here.
Deborah Shapto.
Here.
Bernadine Williams. Okay, absent for present. Jessica Polinar.
Here.
Oh, Bernadine said to say she was on her way.
Okay. Tony Cox.
Yo.
Joseph Davis. I am here. Deanna Lopez.
Here.
George Ryder.
Here.
Venetia Patel Adams.
Here.
You don't have
22 present. We have mixed quorum.
Does anyone not have an agenda? They're stuck somewhere. How many of them? They're on their way. They're on their way.
How you doing,
Dwayne? Doing good, Tony. Thank you for getting the agendas out to us. Although I do have some extra ones over here if they're not enough rolling around. Minutes?
No business minutes available today.
Okay, at this point, we have published that we will go into executive session, and public session is at 8:30.
8:30.
Okay, 8:30. Now, yes, yes, sir.
We need to approve the agenda first.
No. Well, according, somebody just cited Robert Rules of Order, and according to Robert Rules of Order, there is no requirement for an approved of agenda. The agenda is proposed, but if you'd like to make some changes,
the agenda, it's proposed.
Are there any changes to be proposed?
I have a point of order.
I have a point of order myself.
A yes, ma'am.
On changing the, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
We both got the points of order prior to her.
We have posted in the legal website.
Chair's proposed agenda.
I've got a copy.
Chair, can you ask the member to respect?
Would you allow her to make a statement, please, Mr. Kraft?
It posted on the official Pacifica website, kpfts.org, and in the radio website, kpfts.org, it posted this meeting is posted 7, clearly said 7 to 8:30 will be executive session, 8:30 to 10 will be open session. Those are the requirements. Those are the requirements of the CPB, and we cannot modify that.
Well, there are some problems with that, and I have a point of order.
Just a moment, please. Now,
we're missing hard copies of agendas.
That's what I tried to make sure, if everyone got an agenda or not.
I've got the chair's proposed agenda that's been sent out for several days now that states that the regular meeting begins at 7 p.m. And if you want to quibble about things and ignore the rules, this is a good place for you to start, I guess. But
Mr. Chair,
specifically right here, it says regular meeting October 14, 2015, Montrose Center, 401 Brandon, room 114, 7 p.m. And that was posted relatively close to the timelines and everything. However, once this is posted, this is the rule, because you can't tell people that they have 8 o'clock time. Excuse me.
Okay, by the way, we're going to go back to our rule of when you are called on, you have 1 minute to speak and not just ad nauseum. And you're only going to get to speak once on an item so that we can do expedite and hear from the members. So I believe, Hank, I want to go ahead, I guess, start your minute. And it'll be about 3 minutes. But go ahead and make your point.
Because it's here in print. And this is your agenda you sent out.
Well, you're redundant. So I think I'd like to address your point if you make the point. But I think there are other members who'd like to make a point.
I'm not trying to fight any more time.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
If you notice,
Mr. Marquette is up too.
Well,
go right ahead.
Okay. Yeah, he was up first.
All right.
Yeah.
This agenda as printed here is completely in sync with what has been posted on the website and with what was publicized earlier, and that is that, quote, the first 25 minutes, as indicated on this written agenda, does allow for the regular meeting to be called to order, does allow for roll call, it allows for discussion of the agenda, that's 10 minutes, and it allows 5 minutes for the minutes, and 25 minutes into this regular meeting, then it turns into the executive session. So
where is that?
So it's right here on the written agenda, as you can see. If you add up the minutes. But in any event, I would suggest that we, since it has been indicated, we'll deal with the executive session sometime between, at least begin to deal with sometime between 7 p.m. and 8:30 p.m., that we then begin at 7:25 p.m. with the executive session. I so move.
Mr. Mark.
Yes. I'd just like to say that the 8 o'clock time for the public commentary is a matter of our special and standing rules, and to approve a change of that time would require a two-thirds vote of the body.
So
this
noted.
Agenda says 8 p.m. on the back for public comments, and that they have 30 minutes.
I thought we'd change the date.
Mr. Powell.
Yes. One real important thing. I still have not gotten any emails from you, Chair, at all in the last four meetings or six meetings since I brought it to your attention. So not getting any of this information on this agenda and having to go to KPFTX is, although an option, it's not the way it's supposed to work. In the last 4 years, I've never had to go searching for information. Number two, the agenda has always had to be approved. I don't know when that changed. Number three, we've always been able to change things on our agenda if we had to. So I don't know why that's all of a sudden concrete. It's like all of a sudden the last 4 years never occurred for me, where I didn't actually see these things take place. So I don't know why there's so much of an idea that this is the way it's supposed to be when we've always been able to work things out. And Robert's Rules does say we do have to approve this agenda. We can't just go by this. And nobody got it. I didn't get it on email.
Okay,
and
to
no
your first point.
Yes.
To your first point, you've been having an email problem for about a year now, but it's not my problem. I send out to the LSB trail, not to you individually, not to anyone individually. That's the second point. It is your purview, since you have been a member of this organization and on the board for the last 6 years, that it ought to just be natural that on Wednesday, the second Wednesday of the month, you're supposed to be somewhere. Nevertheless, the third point is the fact that, Timing her, and this was her time. The third point was probably a hearing issue, because I asked, were there any changes or suggestions before we even started this process trying to move this agenda? Thank you. Anyone else?
Thank you, Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
I move that we approve the agenda.
I second the motion.
Okay, I've heard a second. Are there any objections?
Object.
Yes, sir. What is your objection? State your objection.
Well, I think we need to, given that we're about to go into closed session on something that is important to the listeners and members of KPFT, I think we ought to move their comments ahead of closed session. It's only fair.
Now, I accept that, and I'm probably going to hear some competing views about that, and I want to recognize that, but the chair must state that the chair has been whipped and beaten electronically with respect to CPB rules and requirements, and as we illustrated last meeting, we don't have a problem breaking rules, just as long as we have the majority. We've demonstrated that. So Having said that, I'd like to hear a rebuttal. Yes, haven't heard from Mr. Crofton, and then I'd like
point
to hear
of order.
From yes, ma'am.
The point of order precedes that.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Chairman.
No, well, point of order, as you state, you so eloquently state, does supersede.
Yeah, the point of order is, it doesn't, our agreed mode of operation, Robert's Rules of Order, indicate that we have a motion that's been moved and seconded on the floor,
yes.
And we cannot entertain
it needs to be
you
debated.
Know, other motions until we deal with this one.
The motion has been moved.
I have been
I'll come back.
The motion is to approve the agenda.
Well, follow her point of order. She hadn't finished. But
we have to deal with
she still
this
has the floor.
We still have to deal with this motion that's been moved and cited and that we accept this agenda as printed until we can deal with other motions.
So I would like to make a proper motion before the agenda can be voted on to be approved. I would like to make a change, which is not even really a change. I would like to hold the printed and emailed chair's proposed agenda and our special rules. I would like to hold the public comment where it belongs at 8 p.m.
It says 8 on the back.
I would like to hold, my motion is to hold it at 8 p.m.
Well, we have a motion.
I'd like to make a friendly amendment to that, if possible.
I mean, we could not. We have how many amendments?
The fact of the matter is this: even with your friendly amendment, so
yeah,
we can come to an understanding. But obviously, if it was friendly, you was trying to accommodate him. Am I correct?
So let's hear it.
So what I'm suggesting to you, Mr. Crofton, is whether it's your amendment, his friendly amendment, you are in effect violating the CPB. Even if you make a change of this.
I'm violating the CPB by questioning the chair's proposed agenda.
By making an adjustment to the time. Because it is a suggested time. I am required, sir, to give a stated time and objective, and I attempted to do that. Now you want to change it. And I'm telling you, based on this information, that it will, you changing it will violate the CPB that y'all want to hold as sacrosanct. Hold on, just a moment. Point of information.
You can entertain different motions. You can keep putting them up. Don't we have a motion on the floor?
We do.
No, we can't.
The fact of the matter is you tried to amend a second motion, which isn't even in existence right now. The motion before us is to approve this agenda. That's the original motion before. Yes, ma'am. I got another point of information.
When you have a motion to approve the agenda, right, the motion stay there, and it's the moment that you open the floor, if people is asking, George can tell us if it's true or not,
yes,
then people can ask to modify that agenda. That is exactly the point. But the agenda, the motion to approve the agenda is there.
That's the main motion.
Yes. Okay? As is.
Then we have to, if I'm not wrong, we have one.
Because there was an objection. So obviously the objection is just simply was stated. Now, if you'd like to vote on the objection, Mr. Crafter.
I would like to make a friendly amendment to Mr. Crafter. Without changing the time, 8 p.m. as you published, that we hold our executive session after public comments, since so many of the people here are here to speak to that issue. I'll take the
point of order.
And it's only fair to let listeners and members speak. I'll take the
yes, sir, counselor.
Point of order, and that is, again, there's no such thing as a friendly amendment, quote unquote. It's either we have a motion before
chamber,
this
body. Please, let's
we have
be,
a motion
let's be,
that's been seconded
keep the
before
call,
this body.
Please.
Now, if you want to discuss the objections to the proposed agenda as it's written, fine. Give so much time for and against as it's written right now. But we do need, I call the question, and I would suggest that we limit discussion of the objections. As far as the friendly amendment goes, it's not even in contradiction as it stands right now. It's already, the agenda already suggests that, suggests that we interrupt our executive session at 8 o'clock in order to allow 30 minutes for public comment, and then we go back into executive session. But as it stands right now, the way the agenda is written, at 25 minutes after 7, we are to start the executive session.
And then ask our foremost person with Robert's Rules of Order that's in the room, either or George or Robert. Can you have more than one motion on the floor?
Three. Let me say, Adriana said it correctly. The motion on the floor is to approve the agenda. Okay. That motion can be amended by any change in the agenda that you wish. So if in particular you wish to move the executive session to after listener comments, so people don't have to leave the room, go somewhere, and then come back again, you can do that, and we can vote on it. And if it's seconded, it's a proper motion. It's an amendment to the agenda.
It's been seconded. Mark Paul Hanks, question.
Yes,
you need to have the floor to answer the question.
We announced public comment, and it was announced, and so people will be coming at that time. And so why don't we just get our work done? I mean, the purpose of the LSP meeting is not just for public comment. The main thing is we get our work done.
Well,
we have a motion seconded.
At this time, we've got a motion stacked on top of a motion. So for the sake of time, and it's 7:26 already, executive privilege. Your concern on this side, if I can say that, is you want the public comments to be heard up front. Knowing that, according to this PNB member's interpretation of CPB, it is a violation because it was published. However, this side seemingly agrees to that in substance. So, in effect, if we were to accept the motion that we move the public comment to now, 7:30.
That's not the motion.
What is the motion?
To the executive session after.
Let the person who originally brought the motion bring forward. What was what's the motion?
It's his motion now. I have a point of information. I have a point of information. So over the last 6 years that I know of, we've had a proposed chair's agenda, which supposedly is required by the CPB all of a sudden.
No, that's not true.
But yet every single meeting, we change that agenda. Yes. We move Nancy's agenda item up first.
I remember that. And under my chairmanship, but did you have an executive session published? No. On any one of those meetings was an executive session published.
Point of order. The floor cannot be taken
for
point of order or point of information that they are not so. To argue. That is not part. And Mr. George Ryder can explain that first.
I think I don't need any. Ladies and gentlemen. I don't need any. I don't need any explanation. I don't need any further discussion. What I would propose we do from this chair. Thank you.
Point of order. Motion cannot be withdrawn. It was made in second. And I want to support it. I think it's a good idea.
So then, what I was about to say, let's dispense of the motion. Let's vote on the motion.
Was I recognized?
No.
Excuse me.
But I was listening to you. I thought we could have a back and forth. Yeah. But the reality is, let's dispense of the motion. Let's vote on the motion.
I wish to speak to it, sir.
Well, so does the original motion person as well.
Point of order, Mr. Chair.
I got your mistake.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Robert's Rules of Order say the motion that I presented, that we proceed with the motion, with the proposed agenda as written, has been seconded. That is the motion that's under consideration. We don't need, we can call a question on the so-called friendly amendment, which I reject, which I do not accept, and we can vote on the amended, the amendment, but that has been withdrawn. So
Mr.
let's go forward with. This is the only motion before this body.
That is incorrect.
Right.
What's on the floor is the motion that
that's the amendment of the motion.
That I made, and we can go ahead and vote on it if you want.
Thank you. So much to get done. Those in favor of the motion, if you remember what it is.
Which one?
Can you
read? It is the subsequent motion, which is not your original motion. We'll get to that. But the subsequent motion is to be voted on yes if you want to support it up, no if you want to vote it down.
What is the motion?
What is the motion, Mr. Secretary? See, this is one of those things where when you don't have printed motions, all it is a parliamentary maneuver to hold up time and progress. Now, that ain't progressive. That ain't progression. Nevertheless,
he withdrew it.
The chair had.
All right. But it's an amendment.
So I was told it was not withdrawn because it can't be withdrawn. Now you are before you to vote for it. So if you want to withdraw it, vote no.
Somebody
needs to state the motion. I told the chair totally agrees because I don't know what the motion is.
What is the motion?
Go ahead.
Mr. Kraft moved that we have public comment at 8 o'clock. That was the original motion. Then it was amended by Mr. Lamb, who said, and that we move the executive session to after public comment. So we need to vote on the amendment, and then we need to vote on the main motion, and then we need to vote on the motion with regard to the agenda.
The amendment.
Point of information?
Yes, sir.
Isn't it the case that on the agenda as it stands, the public comment is already published for 8 o'clock?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So that part doesn't have to be voted on. It's already there. So the only thing that needs to be voted on is when we want to have public when we want to have the executive session. I still think, as a courtesy to the people here, that we not ask them to leave and go away and come back. They can participate in the hearings. We have other things to do. We have a budget and finance report. We have a Pacifica National Board report. The chair's report. I don't have a back at this. So there are other things to do. We can certainly get something useful done.
Give this man a full copy of it.
Let the record show the arrival of Bernadine Williams.
After that, so I'm speaking in favor of the motion.
Point of order?
Yes, ma'am.
I believe that is just a maneuver to be out of order because Mr. Hanlon motion has nothing germane from the original motion. It's some other day. It's not a friendly motion. Have nothing to do one with another. This is a proposed agenda, and what is published is 7 to 8:30 executive session, and 8:30 to 10 open session.
Yes, sir. Why does it matter when we have the executive session but nobody is allowed in the room except us and we're here?
To answer your question, Mr. Mark, since, as I stated before, and I'm serious about this, some of us love to use the law when it's to our advantage. We love to cite CPB. We love to cite Robert. We love to do that. But when it comes to do with actually following what I personally believe y'all are in the predisposition to just violate it. And I would say to expedite the rest of this back and forth, let's just have public comment right now. You're violating it anyway. In effect, we are.
No, we're not.
Because we're supposed to be in executive session right now.
Yeah.
But you're holding it up. No, ma'am. I can't do that. I've got enough over here. Believe me. Yes, go ahead.
There is point of order.
Mr. Ryder?
Yes, sir.
There is no CPB regulation, to my understanding, that tells you when you have to have an executive session, or even if you have to approve an executive session, if it's on the agenda.
Agenda
does not require, if we chose not to have it, that we wouldn't have to have it. And if there is a CPB regulation to that effect, please cite it, because I don't think it's there, and I don't think if we want to move it around, we certainly can.
It is done
routinely on the national board.
As I stated, we violate rules routinely here, so it wouldn't be anything new. Go ahead.
So please,
go right ahead.
I want to, I don't know if that will be would solve the problem.
You know,
what I want is for us to accept that between 8 and 8:30, we will leave the public to make the comments, but at 8:30 certain time, we will go into executive session.
Very certain.
So
in effect, without objections, there is a suggestion out of all the motions we're dealing with, and hopefully we can get a consensus here and move forward, that there are other issues on the agenda, and that those issues for the next 26 minutes could very well be addressed. Upon 8 o'clock, as is published, the public will be able to tell us what's on their mind and give us their suggestions and hopefully their encouragement. And we go into executive session at 8:30. And if there are no objections to that, I believe we could very well move forward after 37 minutes of having our way. Could I not hear any objections to move forward? Hearing none. On the agenda, we do have, moving forward,
approve the agenda as amended. Right?
That's probably what we need to go back to, right? Okay.
As amended.
Go ahead.
I have another amendment to the agenda.
Uh-oh, Mr. Ryder. Go ahead.
I have never seen an agenda for the executive session.
We have one, and everybody.
Well, I have never gotten it before this meeting.
No one has.
So we're going into an executive session to consider who knows what. I think I know what, because I've sort of got scuttlebutt about what it is, but I do not wish to be asked to make a serious decision on the basis of information which I'm given immediately before the meeting. Do not have a time to look at and digest without some reflection on that. So I'm going to move that the executive session be held as a quasi-committee of the whole.
And what that means
is that we can discuss the issues that are being raised, but we cannot make a motion during that time.
Point of order.
So I move that. It's been seconded.
Okay, go ahead, ma'am.
Mr. Chair, we know that we cannot. The reason for executive session is stated and public, and we know that is exactly what we need to do. We cannot consider matters related to individual employees in open session. We cannot. That's why the report of the Management Selection Review Committee cannot be made in public. That doesn't mean that we need to make decisions. It means that we cannot discuss it in public. It's the only thing that means.
Okay.
And the body have the decision to decide whatever is executive decision, because we hold everybody accountable, to the confidentiality.
Point of information, point of order.
I got you.
Mr. Secretary, do we have all the...
So, Mr. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I
call the question as far as, if it's necessary, I think we already have agreement that we're not going to start executive session until 8:30. So, meanwhile, I suggest that we move forward the agenda with regard to housekeeping and minutes and stuff left over from before. But we shall not discuss the matters involved with the executive session until 8:30, period. And I believe it's very, very inappropriate at this point in time. If we can come to an agreement with this change in the agenda, then fine.
Thank you, ma'am.
Because I call the question, let's vote.
Point of information.
So then we're going to start executive session at 8:30. Okay.
Yes. Yes. Seconded motion, please.
Well, okay. Let me allow someone who hasn't spoke first, and I'll come to you.
We're not discussing executive session.
We have one member that has a night shift. I keep that in mind. She has to leave at 9.
Okay. Mr. Kraft.
Okay. So I have another point of information about the management of this board over the last year.
This is point of order.
This is a point of information.
Inappropriate.
So what's your question?
What's your question?
What are you asking?
Why is it that we've never received minutes or notes from any committee during your reign as the chair of this board?
Well, frankly, because I'm not the chair of the committee. That's the simple answer I got for you.
You don't require me?
I don't require it, no. I only am responsible for this meeting here, and any chair that is a chair of a committee, just like you were. Mr. Crafter, you're the very one who didn't have a meeting for 6 months, and you chaired a committee.
Yeah,
so I think you're not in a good frame.
Give me a mandate about that committee.
No, I'm talking about the MSRC when you chaired it a couple of years ago, sir.
What are you talking about?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
Can we stop this debate? We have already approved. We all approved. We have 8 to 10 public comment and executive session. We already approved it by consensus.
Yes.
What are we discussing now?
Minutes. There is a matter talking about chair's business, and this is my business. It is my responsibility. We have some members who are new or who don't have confidentiality statements signed on file. And so the secretary is going to do his job and dispense them to you so that when we do go into executive session, and any information that is reviewed will be held in the highest and strictest confidentiality by your per se signed agreement. I believe now we do have...
Jessica.
We do have time. Yes, sir.
There's a motion on the floor.
There's several motions on the floor, sir.
There's just one motion on the floor. There's one motion.
Okay.
And the motion was part of the approval of the agenda that we conduct the executive session as a quasi committee of the whole, which means that we cannot make any motions during that time. We can receive a report. We can discuss the report. We can have some back and forth about the report. But we cannot make a motion during that time. So that's the motion that's on the floor.
Okay, the motion has been seconded. I'll hear you if you want to speak on the motion, ma'am. Go right ahead.
At this point in time, it's inappropriate to make any motions with regard to the content or procedure of the executive session. It's not until we go into executive session that we then discuss and determine the parameters of how it will be conducted. But at this point in time, we're supposed to move on with the what we agreed to is the agenda. We have minutes to discuss from last time. We have outstanding business. We've only got 18 minutes left before the public has an opportunity to make its comments. And I propose, and I submit, that my fellow distinguished delegate is out of order with that particular motion, but I do ask that we go forward with the minutes.
Well, I think it's important that we do go forward, but I also think it's important that all of you know what Robert Rules of Order say about Committee of the Whole. And according to Robert Rules of Order, I would like to read this into the record, Mr. Secretary. According to the Robert Rules of Order, states that the Committee of the Whole is suitable for large assemblies. The procedure is invoked by a motion to commit to the Committee of the Whole, or simply to go into a complete of the whole, a Committee of the Whole. The only motions in order in a Committee of the Whole are those to adopt a proposal, MSRC report. I want to repeat that. The only motions in order in a committee of the whole are those to adopt a proposal in the committee's report, to amend, to rise and report, as well as certain incidental motions and requests. Now, let's go to what Mr. Ryder was speaking specifically. Variants of the Committee of the Whole are the quasi-Committee of the Whole and to consider informally. The difference between a Committee of the Whole and a quasi-Committee of the Whole is that in the latter, the quasi, the presiding officer of the assembly remains in the chair and presides. Informal consideration simply removes the normal limitation on the number of times members can speak in debate. So I just want you to be clear about what a committee of the whole was, what a quasi-committee of the whole was, what in effect it does have the power to do and doesn't. Now, moving forward, having that knowledge, there is a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. I'd like to see it dispensed so we can demonstrate that we have the capacity to move an item forward, no matter how important or unimportant it is. Now, the problem with motions, again, when they're not written, is that they can't be as explicit and clear as what I just read to you, because it's in somebody's brain, and 24 other people are trying to consider it. That's why this chair, Mr. Kraft, to your point, requested that we only accept written motions. And this chair has been a lack of enforcing that for a lack of support from the other 23. So, we do have this motion, and I'd like to dispense of this motion. I believe the motion has been read, reread, and I'd like for Mr. Ryder to read the motion again. So it'd be very clear what you're voting for and what you're voting no for.
The motion is that in executive session we meet as a quasi-committee of the whole.
Well, you had a little more to say than that.
I was explaining to people who might not know what a quasi-committee of the whole means.
But it didn't have those restrictions. What you added about the restrictions would have to be part of your motion. Otherwise, it's not stated. Yes, and it doesn't restrict you from considering anything, as he wanted in his motion to restrict you from certain actions.
You can consider what you like, but you cannot make a motion what you read was you can approve a committee report, but that's all. You cannot make any other motions.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to challenge that, because you really do need to kind of have your little Robert Rules of Order book in front of you. But as chair, it's my job to dispense, not to argue the points, and it's tempting. But nevertheless, if you agree with what the motion is, vote for it. If you disagree, yes.
What is a quasi-committee of the whole?
A quasi-committee of the whole is. Variants of the committee of the whole are the quasi and the to consider informally. So let's leave consider informally out. The difference between the committee of the whole and a quasi of the whole is the presiding officer of the assembly remains in the chair and presides. Information or informal consideration simply removes the normal limitations on the number of times a person can speak. So it's really double speak. It's a committee that is no different than the previous committee, other than you can make some changes, more changes with the committee of the whole than with the quasi.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to call a question.
Yes, sir. Those of you in favor of the motion, which is to limit, basically, that's it, please raise your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Nope, I'm sorry. Keep them up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Those opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's keep them up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Now the chair is going to take executive privilege and vote on this matter. I vote aye.
It's a tie.
I vote no, I'm sorry.
It's a tie. And it fails.
All right, now, the agenda has been approved. The original motion has already been dispensed of. The item now before us, given the time constraints we have right now, is the...
We didn't approve it.
We didn't approve it.
I'm not going back there. I'm not going back there. Let's deal with... Is the treasurer here?
Can we all go talk at once?
Is the treasurer here?
Can we all talk at once?
Yes, sir.
We never some people are not talking. I don't understand why everybody's
Joseph,
not talking.
Joseph, you're interrupting.
Ladies and gentlemen. We just accomplished a little something, so let's get on the road.
With Maria Elena's motion.
No. Point of information.
Yes, we did.
No, we didn't.
Yes, we did.
Yes, sir. The chair rules that the agenda has been approved. Well, that's not unusual. Welcome. Okay.
We didn't vote
yes, ma'am.
Agenda. We voted on the motion.
I'd like to get your vote on this.
There's a huge difference.
Okay, the chair has been challenged. I'm not at liberty to. Well, I'll do this.
We know.
Madam Chair.
May I ask?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
In the discussion earlier about the setting the time for the executive session and for public comment, the chair basically said. Okay, we're going to set an executive session for 8:30, time certain. The public comment would be at 8, and that was the modification to the agenda. You asked for objections. There were none. That was accepted. That was the approval of the agenda.
No, sir, you don't have the floor.
No. That's just wanted to clarify that.
No, that's more. Does it deal with the chair's challenge?
No, he's going to be challenged.
Yes, sir.
That was an amendment to the proposed agenda. I made another amendment to the proposed agenda. It failed. The other one succeeded. We now have to approve the agenda. It's very simple. Take a vote on the agenda.
I am going to relinquish the chair to make my point, and I hope we can limit this to before we get to public session and cheat the very people that you claim you want to hear. But the fact is, we're 8 minutes before hearing them. Madam Chair, will you receive the bar, the gavel?
Thank you.
Yes, gladly.
So I guess, would you like to speak first?
Most certainly would like to speak first. I believe evidence has already been presented. And the fact of the matter is, these games being played right now only reflect on you. I'm finished. Nothing else to say, let's vote.
Did you have to say something? Did you have something to say to defend your point?
That's what I asked.
That's what we're asking for.
Thank you for supporting me, Dwayne.
Yeah, you're supporting me. If you vote,
support each other.
Support me then. Call the question.
Take the chair back.
No, don't want it.
Okay, you got the chair tonight.
Okay.
Okay, so I guess let's vote. If you,
it would be silly to ask for objections.
No, not with this group.
Is anybody objecting?
Having nothing in writing, let me just state that the only on the record right now adjustments to the agenda that I have is time certain 8:30 for executive session, time certain 8 p.m. for public comment.
That's it.
So just know what you're voting on.
Okay. All in favor
of the agenda. Is there any objections?
There's no objections. Are there any objections? Are you objecting, really?
No, you can't listen to me. You know I got a big mouth. I can tell you exactly how I feel. I don't need any help.
We just did. There were no objections.
In this
room.
Exactly. The board is just full of obstructionists. Wasting time.
It's called dysfunction. It's a good word for it.
All this of the day with the chair.
Yes, ma'am. It really is. But nevertheless, it's nothing new. So now that we have a budget and finance chair report. Is the finance chair here?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair?
Yes, ma'am, you want to object?
Well, we have the first one is proposed motion move that KPFT committee.
I'm sorry, sir.
That is the first thing that we have in the order that we have here.
Okay, Ms. Rich. Ladies and gentlemen, are there any objections to the motion before you that reported out of the outreach committee?
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
It's reported out of the outreach committee. Are there any objections? If they're not, then go for it. Let us know what you need.
The motion. We'll make the motion.
They're going to do an online,
on-air. I know, but we...
Let us speak to it.
Right.
I have discussed this with Ernesto. At first he thought we were talking about having a town hall meeting and then just airing it on the radio, and I said, no, we're talking about having people like call in and airing it on either on HD or but primarily with people calling in. We could pose a topic and then people line up for public comment and utilize the airwaves, and he's amenable to that. But I mean, we might want to say November 15th if we don't think we can get it done now at this point because the election's coming up, and some people are campaigning and kind of busy at this point.
Question?
Yes. You said that we'll be on air online, but online will be, you say, HD3 or we...
We could either be on the HD channel or on the primary channel. If he said, you know, if we have it, like, on the analog, then it would probably be best to, like, find a program that would relinquish their program for that.
What will be, how the people, I mean, we will receive, how the... I mean, the listeners can, you know.
Let's say on the national level, George Ryder is conducting strategic planning. And let's say he said something like, we're discussing more live airing of conventions and actual events like, you know, Sierra Club or something like that. Call in and let your opinion be known. And so people would queue up and you let them on and each have...
The KPFT phones.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. Will not be kind of other kind of calls, no. Would be just to the KPFT.
Well, we could also use, like, email and all of the other social media, if Ernesto can work on that. I mean, he found this to be an interesting challenge. Yeah.
Let me go ahead around the table there. I'll get to you about
the email. The outreach has not set the details, so I would like the outreach committee to put this in writing and a little more detail to it instead of just, for example, because these are all ideas and they haven't been concreted yet.
If we do this in hours, then we're going to have to put it back another month so we can, if we want to prove it by the LSB and all in more detail, then we'd have to move back a month.
Robert?
Yeah, I'd just like to say, for example, Egberto Willis, when he's on the air with his program, mm-hmm. is also broadcasting live over the net with a program called Periscope, which is actually his phone taking a picture of him while he's on the air on our station.
Cool.
And it allows anybody watching on Periscope to actually communicate with Egberto while he's talking on the air. And so he can just look down, see the question, and relate it to him. So that's an example of how that might be. You could just do that online some other way, but that's an easy way.
Periscope has become famous with this young lady. Saying she's drunk driving down the street and one officer like that followed her and got a DWI. So Periscope, be careful.
We have a lot of call-in shows, and this would be similar to that, except you would accept email questions, Facebook questions, Periscope questions.
Twitter.
And it's all stuff that a lot of people are familiar with. So to send it back
and to... It really, as I'd like to work with you on this, and for me... It could be very big if you go ahead and try to work it in December during the election, the runoff,
November.
Because more... December.
No, Mr. Chair.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
December. I think that all of these various details need to be worked out, but I think we should approve this motion and let the committee do its work.
I agree.
And they can report back to us. If they need to modify things, they'll let us know.
Exactly.
Thank you, because they're intelligent people working on that committee.
Very committed.
And they're very committed, and I think we ought to support them.
Right. Tony would be the last
speaker. On the outreach committee. Thank you.
So, Mr. Chair, should we say December 15th?
Well, we should work that out. We're going to give you authorization as the outreach to set the date. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say it's great to see everyone on one accord about this specific thing.
Right.
It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic.
Right.
Especially where listeners and members can hear it.
Well, no doubt. And that's where we're going anyway, online and on the
board.
Actually, without any objection, the motion passes.
All right.
Okay.
Yes. It says by November 1st.
It's modified. what a modification, okay?
Modified to December 15th?
Your date.
Okay.
Let's get online like you do. Get everybody on the telephone. You know how you do.
So December 15th.
Let me make note for the record. The date will be changed to Teresa Allen's discretion.
Yes.
Okay. And that will be on analog, right?
We're up against a hard time. I've got 30 seconds. I'm losing radio time here to get the audience up. 30 seconds, yes.
Yes.
Go.
I think that needs to be
8:30 seconds.
Note the bill that the general manager is not here.
Okay, note that, the general manager is not here. Did I have someone over here for 20 seconds? All right. Okay. Public comment. What we all been waiting for. Do we have a list? All this time we haven't. Y'all too focused. Okay. All this time we haven't had a list. Still some time, Bill. You be the first one on the list. So come on up. You've got your thoughts together, I'm sure. Rather than letting time pass with getting a signage, I can recognize the fact I got a call from Rhonda. Rhonda, you want to speak, don't you? I don't want to encourage it, Rhonda, but I just want to acknowledge. And I know the cab. Mary Ann wants to please raise your hands for those in the gallery who intend to speak. Stacy, I'm sure Stacy wants to speak.
We have two people here.
It's going to be divvied up pretty good.
Just go down the line.
No.
We got to know how many minutes to apportion.
3 minutes.
It's 30 minutes, and we got to apportion 30 minutes.
3 minutes per speaker.
3 minutes per speaker. Go.
Okay, well, thank you all. We appreciate everybody being here. I know we have a lot of problem with getting attendance and stuff at the meetings. And for those of you who don't know, I'm the treasurer of the local session board, but I'm not a member of the local session board. And by being treasurer, also on the National Finance Committee. And let me just give a small portion of what I was going to give in the treasurer's report, because it really is important place to hear it too. I just want to let you know, I sent all of you, you know, an email a week or two ago. Efren Larinas, who's the interim controller for Pacifica, has kind of been panicking because he's been watching the cash flow and all the financial crisis that's been developing. A lot of this has been accumulating over the last few years, but it's really accelerated in the last 2 years. Things have really gotten bad. And you folks need to know it because it can affect things right here at KPFT. He's worried, frankly, if these paychecks are going to bounce this week because the cash flow is so short in the national office. Same thing for Pacifica Radio Archives, which everybody, you know, realizes is a real treasure. They can't make payroll. KPFT has funded, lent money to some of the other stations to make payroll and to pay health insurance premiums because some of them can't do that. I mean, that's a loan. We get it back. But, I mean, it's just really sad. KPFK, our Los Angeles station, lost about $500,000 in just in FY15. That's preliminary, but it looks pretty close. $500,000, one station. They're months behind in central services fees. That's the fees that pay for the national office, for PRA, for you're supposed to pay for Democracy Now, things like that. Legal bills, audits, all this stuff. They're months and months behind. I don't think they've made any this year, maybe a few at the beginning of the year. WPFW, our DC station, is doing better, but they're still not making social services payments. Mm-hmm. They're about 3 months behind, and they have this year. And they've accumulated about $1 million in debt for the national office. WBAI, the New York station, I think over $1 million. I don't know what it is. And they're accumulating about another $500,000 per year in debt, because the revenues dropped, the membership has dropped more than half. All those other stations are doing so badly. KPFA and KPFT are the only ones making central services payments, and we can't keep the rest of the network going.
30 seconds.
And so what happens if a station bounces paychecks? You know, it's a crisis for all the Pacific. We're one foundation, one big family, and it can have really serious repercussions here. I'll give you some more details when we get the financial report, but I hope all will think about that and think about what your role can be, because Efren was asking all of the local station boards to help raise money. Raise money, people.
Next speaker, we're going to go from left to right. So who is the first person who wants to speak over?
Excuse me. The board needs to pay attention. These people have come here to speak to you. Please be quiet and listen.
Thank you, ma'am. Next person, please. We're going from left to right. Go ahead.
Okay, hi. My name is Jeff Abrams. I'm an attorney and mediator in town. I moved here in 1979. Started listening to KPFT immediately. It blew me away. I have been a supporter almost every year for the 36 years that I've been here. I cite regularly to people outside of Houston and to people inside of Houston that KPFT is one of the reasons I love living in Houston. It's a rare treat that is just not available in most other places in the world. I love it. I want it to stay. I've supported it for 3 decades. I got an email that said Dwayne was at risk. I am a big supporter of Dwayne's. He there's a lot of madness that goes on at KPFT, as we can see. It's an incredibly difficult job. I think as amazing, you know, as difficult as it is, and as on opposite sides of so many people are, somehow he's managed to keep the thing down the middle, keep the thing running, as difficult as that is. I think if we change horses at this point in time, who really knows? The financial difficulties will probably be so much more serious. People like me, perhaps, depending on what happens, might decide I've given up, and I want to strongly support Duane, and that we keep Duane, and that he keeps what I think is an excellent balance between the music and the news and the reporting. And I'm very much in support of Duane. As a longtime member, I would like you on the board to know that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
I want to remind the members that we generally don't respond in any way to the members of the, so that we don't have preference. Go right ahead.
My name is Carol McGregor, and I'm a long-term listener and a very, very active volunteer. I've volunteered at almost every event that KPFT is involved in, and I'm at the pledge drive nearly 5 days a week. During the week, answering phones for 6 hours a day. So I am totally committed to this station. And I, like my neighbor here, I got a memo and I heard that Duane's position is at risk with the station. And I'm also here to support Duane and to say that there must be a problem. I don't know the internal politics of what's brought us to this point. There must be a problem with the management style. I don't know what's going on. But I know that KPFT is more than just needing management. It needs commitment to the mission statement. It needs dedication to the success of this station, because it is unique in the country as far as I'm concerned. I think it is a magnificent part of the city and surrounding areas that can listen to KPFT. And Duane, I believe, brings that commitment and that dedication, the support of the staff, of the volunteers, of his time and his energy, his hours, is for the station. And if there are management issues, things like that can work out. But if you lose Duane, I really believe the station's going to suffer for that. And that's all I want to say.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Please refrain yourself, because if you give it to everyone, that would be great, but I'm not sure you will. So let's just be professional. Let's just be professional and don't respond at all. Thank you.
I would appreciate it if you do not clap for me.
Thank you.
The management position is very difficult at KPFT. It's harder than a commercial station.
Your name?
Dave Ritz.
Thank you. He does.
I came here in 72. I volunteered at that time. I've been through a lot of machinations with KPFT over the years. Worked in commercial radio, managing. I have a lot of radio experience. You have to be a great politician to do this job, because everybody has different ideas. Everybody wants different shows. There's little power groups. It works here. The same issues happen here. So that's a critical element. You have to have radio skills. You have to have financial and management skills. And you have to be able to work not really making the kind of money that somebody with that resume could get if they were working in other places, which makes it a very hard position to fill. And I think Duane has been exemplary at that, to stay as long as he has and get a consensus and keep us consistently making money at a time when Pacifica itself is falling apart because it doesn't have the kind of management that KPFT has got. I think we're beacon for the other stations to show them a way that there is a way to build consensus, that there is a way to make the stations profitable. We don't have that in the other markets. We've got that here. And that's why I support Duane, because I see him as a stability to the station, to the network, and I like the way he follows the charter. I like the way he has diverse programming. He strives for professionalism. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody that cares as much and works as hard. Thank you.
Next speaker, please.
My name's Mike Vanziok. I've been kind of a latecomer to KPFT. Started tuning in regularly about 4 years ago. But 2 years ago, I'm a Democracy Now! Fan. That's what got me into this area. And I decided to come down to volunteer about a year and a half ago in the morning for a pledge drive at 6 a.m. or 8 a.m. actually. And after seeing Dwayne do his shtick on ad-libbing, on pitching for the station, it really got me hooked. And ever since, I've been on every weekday morning from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. at KPFT during pledge drives answering phones. And like I say, Dwayne Bradley is a big reason why I'm doing this. He is professional. He is very, very committed to the station, and he's very, very committed to the people who work at the station. And I've never seen someone with better people skills in my life work his job. Dwayne is not going for his next job. He's not using this as a stepping stone to somewhere else. This is his commitment in life. I'm sure of it. I do have a written statement I would like to submit for the record on my testimony, and I hope the station board and everybody can support Dwayne fully. Thank you.
Okay, next speaker, please.
I'm Torchy Vanziok. For the past several years, I've been a volunteer at KPFT, both during the pledge drive and through the Blues programs. I work with and around Dwayne Bradley and feel he is a true KPFT gem. Volunteers want to work with him because he cares deeply not only about the station's mission, but also more importantly about the people who make it a success. He has earned and deserves the full support of the local station board. I also want to say as a volunteer that if people who donate money to this station came down to see this board meeting, you'd never get another penny out of anybody. I don't think that someone needs to yell and be condescending to volunteers on the board or the volunteers sitting here. We are people, and we support because we support somebody you might not like. Okay? We're still people. We're still the volunteers, and we're the ones who pay for KPFT. We're the volunteers. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next speaker, please.
Mary Ann Martinez, Chair of KPFT Community Advisory Board. I'd like to say that as a CAB member, we do assessments every year, and we present those assessments to our management, Dwayne Bradley, and Dwayne has responded to our requests and our suggestions, and I think that's a good thing for him to do. My suggestion to you guys is this. You have a management selection review committee. Why don't you come up with some ideas on if you feel that Dwayne is deficient in some areas, come up with a plan. You know, and I'm sure that he'll follow through because he did with us. Dwayne did everything that we brought up to him. He took immediate action. And I think that, you know, in all the time that I've known Dwayne, he's been a righteous and honorable person. And I'm very proud to know him. And I'm sorry that it's come to this, you know.
Next speaker, please.
Hello. Eyeballing the room, Hank, thank you for volunteering during the fund drive. Teresa, thank you. Adriana, thank you. Wesley, thank you. If anybody else showed up to volunteer that I'm not aware of, I apologize for not calling your name. But if my thank yous are limited to the people that I did, I'd like to encourage you board members to participate in the next fund drive. If you weren't able to make a financial contribution to the station during this last fund drive, I'd like to ask you to do that tonight. If you can't pay a lot, that's understandable. But to show up, I think is important to make a donation. As y'all know, we came up $70,000 short in the fund drive. I've been working at the station, it'll be 2 years in January, and as far as I know, we have only met the fund drive goal once. So I would strongly encourage, like I did at other meetings, and that is for the LSB to be most concerned about the finances of the station and to am I supposed to keep talking?
Please,
uh-huh.
Please. Please. Just wait. By all means.
Wait till the stage so you can have everybody's attention.
Okay.
We're going to block the attention.
Public comments at 8:30.
Yeah, please continue.
I don't think
it's fair to ask me to speak while all this commotion is going on.
I agree.
Right, that's okay.
It is.
Clock is still ticking.
It's the nature of business, and I think you have undivided attention.
I'm ready now.
You're ready.
Okay. All right. So, seriously, if you guys really want to help the station, we're in a crisis financially. So as a board, let's raise some money. Let's have an event. I would venture to say that that is a shortcoming of this LSB. But on the other, and then with that said, I'd also like to thank you for your service.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
My name is David Collingsworth. I'm a producer for The Prison Show. I've been a listener of KPFT since 1978. Whenever my family moved from Indiana to Texas, my dad called it potluck radio. I guess I grew up listening to KPFT because you never knew what you were going to hear. I've been working with Ray Hill since 2004, volunteering back and forth. I started out bringing him with Dr. Pepper, and I got to know Dwayne Bradley on and off because of volunteering. And I've answered phones, I've brought the Dr. Pepper, I've worked the board, I've been a host, and now I'm a producer. And every time I've ever went to Dwayne and I had an issue, and believe me, if you all have been around long enough, you know the Prison Show has had some issues. He's worked with us, and he's always been willing to go the extra mile if it was coming in late, coming in on a Saturday, or whatever it took for us to get through the hump. I know we're all human, and I definitely saw the board the first 45 minutes that I was here. Y'all are all human, and rather than concentrate on what his issues may be and try and get rid of him, I have to agree with Rhonda. Maybe y'all's efforts would be better spent trying to figure out how to pick up KPFT out of this hole and use his strengths to our advantage. Come along the side of him. Don't knock him down. Don't get rid of him because he's got so much time and effort that's already invested. Everybody come along the side of him and let's get this thing going on and figure out what we can do to get up this $70,000 shortfall. I work a full-time job. I work 70, 80 hours a week, plus volunteering at the Prison Show. I take money out of my own pocket to give KPFT. My family takes money out of their pockets to give KPFT. I think it's very important that we all pull together. I can't do it alone. All the volunteers can't do it alone, and I know you can't do it alone. But I think all along, if we all just pull together and use his strengths, man, that dude, he's really got some good things going for him. We can sit and kick each other all day long, and we're not going to get it accomplished. But if we stop and use each other's strengths, we can do a lot.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Lynn Westall. I've been a Houston resident for coming up 18 years. I've traveled the world and listened to radio stations in and out of everywhere. And I started listening to KPFT pretty much the first day I arrived, or the first morning after I arrived. It's an incredible resource that I think we all appreciate, we all acknowledge. I've heard a lot of talk about getting rid of Dwayne, and I can only endorse everything that everybody else has said. But I would add something else. I also happen to be the president of a 501c, the Houston Blues Society. And while I can't speak on their behalf, I feel like I'm qualified to speak on behalf of the blues community, certainly, and probably the broader music community. In as much as my awareness is that KPFT's funding comes in large part from the music programs. And there are an awful lot of people that would be very disappointed to see Dwayne move, see music programs diminished in any way. It is the lifeblood of the station as far as I see. and I value free speech and left of center, whatever you want to say about it. So I appreciate everything I've known about KPFT. But specifically, I think it would be absolute madness to get rid of the Waynes, the glue that's held us together through 18 tumultuous years that I've known. I did stand for the board 17 years ago and got washed away because I liked too much music, I think. But that's not to say I'm particularly prejudiced towards it. I'm just a realist in that respect. So that's my position. I think you'll lose an awful lot of community support by getting rid of the Wayne and certainly by losing any of the music programs. Thank you.
Next speaker, please.
My name is Stacey Davis, and I don't think that Dwayne is the best manager in the whole world. He certainly has his issues, but he's kept the station together financially, especially when other directors have been stealing from the foundation for sure. I think that definitely one of the problems is how this board is put together. Changing everybody on the board every year is, and I'm one of the people that voted on this idea. It was a bad idea. We should have done it. We know that the Pacific is possibly going down, and we need to start thinking about what we're going to do if that happens. How we're going to secede? How we're going to get this radio station back at Pacific the fold? And I don't see this body doing it.
Right on.
But you can't change, you can't change generals in the middle of the race. And y'all don't seem to have anybody lined up that's any better than Dwayne. And, and Dwayne's not pocketing any money. Mm-hmm. And the rest of them are. Yep. And unless he's done something really terrible that I don't know about, if it's just regular old day-to-day management blunders, so what? He's only human, and he's gonna make mistakes. He's not perfect, but he's the best thing that Pacifica as a foundation has, period. Because this whole place is broken. Don't break it even more. And I will say one more thing, that you people on this board have to be aware that there are people among you who have nothing but the destruction of this whole foundation as their agenda, whether they're agents of, spies, because there's spies all over the place. I know it sounds paranoid, but we already knew this going in. When we first came in, we had to pay the bill of the corporate spies that were spying on us, and we never found out what they had. So to think that those people aren't among you right now and throwing fire on all the little gasolines that people put up is naive. So save yourselves. Save KPFT. Forget about Pacifica. It's gone. Think about KPFT.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
One more. I have Levi.
Rich Levy. Levy. Right. Yeah, my name's Rich Levy. I have been a listener since 1982. I've been a contributor to the station pretty much since I arrived in 1982. And I have to say, I run a nonprofit. I've run it for 20 years, a 501c3. I really understand how complicated these things are. And I think in Dwayne Bradley, you have one of the best ambassadors for this station to the community that you will ever have, okay? The guy has the station's best interests at heart. I've known him for almost that whole 20 years. I've been very impressed with him from the beginning. I realize he hasn't been the station manager the whole 20 years, the whole time, but he is terrific. And I think, from the point of view of a contributor, a community member who has never attended one of these meetings before and will probably never attend one of these meetings again, I just want to say that Dwayne, I totally agree. He's one of the best people you could have in this position. He's studying ethical leadership, for God's sake. Let's give the guy a chance. If you have a beef with him as an executive director, let him know, put it in writing, you know, and proceed in a professional way.
Yeah.
But really, I think Dwayne needs to be acknowledged as a very effective community leader. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Judy Emerson? Yes, ma'am.
I like Dwayne just a whole bunch, but you know what? We're missing some money, and we haven't had an audit, and I don't know how dang long, and it is incredible that money disappears. Now, he may not be winding up, and it may not be winding up in his pocket, but it's somewhere. It ain't here. And we need, you know, regular audit every year. I don't give a damn how much it costs. We have to do it. I want to know where the money's going and why, and I want something real. I don't want something, well, generalizations here. You know, something you give out to a fancy, nice, slick brochure and call it the, whatever, the year-end statement or whatever. I want something real. I want numbers.
All right.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Are there any? We do have some little bit of time. Ted Westcombe?
I didn't really come here tonight to talk on this topic. I was really coming to give a report of the Anti-Racism and Diversity Committee, which I hope I'll still have an opportunity to do. But when I heard all of the conversation going around the room, I thought I ought to share with you just three things. The first is that a few months ago, I scheduled a meeting that included Ernesto Aguilar, myself, and Amy Turney, who is the president of the League of Women Voters. And after that meeting, on the silver platter was the opportunity for KPFT to carry basically the voter's guide with all of the candidates on the airwaves of KPFT. And Ernesto, as I have been told, met with Dwayne, and the idea was no. So instead of carrying all those debates we have had, whatever we've had during Open Journal for the last 2 months, I was asked about a year and a half ago to work with the HISD Student Congress to help them write their bylaws, and as a result of that connection with them, I was able to bring the Student Congress to KPFT. And until midsummer, they were doing a program every other week. They submitted their amicus brief to the state Supreme Court. It was written up in the Washington Post. It was written up in an editorial in the Houston Chronicle. And when they were prepared to do their show a couple of weeks ago, it was canceled during the fund drive because they didn't know how to pitch. Here's an organization that represents all of the students in HISD and reaches out to the youth in this community. And if I had my way, I would have pulled out any stop possible to get the Student Congress, which did have a show ready to be aired 2 weeks ago or a week ago during the fund drive. I've heard allegations tonight that there is stealing going on all over the network, and the network is about to go under. I don't know where those allegations come from, but I do know that while Dwayne Bradley may be the greatest representative to the community there is, the rest of us have not been trained to do the same thing. We do not have support in terms of building committees, and that's where I think the manager is highly responsible. End of statement.
But that's not a reason.
Well, that concludes our public comment, and we certainly got everyone in. Good for that.
Thank you.
And so, thank you for your presence. And we're going to have to ask the public to excuse themselves, so we can't go into executive session as it's posted. And just a moment, Mr. Kropka.
Thank you all for coming.
Thank you very much.
A 5 minute bathroom break.
I think that would be appropriate, Mr. Kropka. 5 minute bathroom break. No objections. Listen, we let the record show Alana Lon has slipped in here. I didn't even see him.
He's been here before you were.
And you didn't even say a word at all? Oh, my.